God. Amen. Title of this message today is The Faith of a Mother. The Faith of a Mother. Amen. The Faith of a Mother. Amen. When I was younger, I would go over to my cousin's house, and didn't matter which cousin's house I went over, we would always get together from time to time, but we would always find ourselves playing something called house. Anybody ever played house? Played house all the time. And when we played house, I talked to my cousin recently, and we were just laughing and talking about that because she was saying that she always wanted to have Elvis Presley as her husband, and I wanted Elvis Presley as my husband. So we would just be fighting back and forth, and then I would just say, never mind, I'll just take Tony Curtis. Or Frankie Avalon, I don't care. Tony Curtis, Frankie Avalon, or Elvis Presley, any one of them. Young people may not even know half these people that I'm calling right now. But they were the cute boys. And, you know, that was all we saw on TV. You know, that was all we saw. And so we would get together as kids and go to one another's houses, and we would just play house. And we would have, sometimes when we got a little older, we would have our little nieces or cousins or whatever, and they would be our little kids, and they'd be walking around saying, Mommy, I want to, and you the mommy, you know, you're a kid yourself, but you're talking about something. Come over here, and because we're getting ready to go to the market, and they're going to the market, and we're holding hands, walking down the stairs, we'll be back. And then we go back home, and we'll pretend that our husband is there waiting for us, you know. Oh, man, it was just so much fun. And we used to get to a place where, I don't know if the kids know about this either, we used to play with paper dolls. Yeah, there was something called paper dolls, and you would buy a pack of them, and pop them out, and sit them on that little foldy thing, have them stand up on that baby, and y'all playing house, you be walking the paper doll, and you say, how you doing? I'm doing all right, how you doing? That was the way we played. And then when your parents didn't have any money to get any paper dolls, you would cut some out of those magazines. We'd be all over the house grabbing the magazines, and we're cutting out the paper dolls. I just took somebody way back, right? Those were the good days, the good old days. That was so much fun. You know, you just had so much fun. And I'm telling you, we did that for hours and hours and hours. We just went to each other's houses, and, you know, our parents didn't have to worry about us. We didn't get in any trouble. Wasn't no foolishness going on while he was playing house. We were playing real house. But we were just doing some good and fun things and things. And a lot of times we were doing things that we saw our parents do. So sometimes we would get our kids and beat them, you know. Send them to their room, put them in their bed. You know, and then we make up all this stuff about what we are, you know, what our husband did, what kind of job he had, and, oh, man, we just make up all kinds of stuff, you know. Playing house. Oh, man. Playing house. Amen. So, you know, but, you know, when we were younger, we played house. But then how many of us know that, you know, when we became of age, we had to realize that life and house is not a fairy tale. Sometimes life can throw you a curveball. Sometimes life can throw you a curveball, and, you know, you're thinking, hey, you know, like, oh, this is just great, you know. Woo!
When you're a kid, I want to be a mother, and I want to be a father, and I just want to do this, I want to do that, and I'm going to have this, I'm going to have that. You have all these plans, but how many of us know that everything don't go as planned all the time, right? Life just don't go as planned all the time. You always have something that, you know, will stop you in your tracks and make you think, like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And so as I look at this woman in this story, I look at her and I say to myself that she probably had the same thing going on. She probably had thought about her life. She probably had, you know, got together with this man and decided, you know what, we're going to get married and we're going to have children. And she had all these plans for her life. I can only imagine that, you know, she had just dreamed up all these wonderful plans for her life and for her family. And how many of us sit there and we may, you know, like somebody, if you go for a job interview, they'll ask you, you know, what do you have a five-year plan or something like that? You know, what you going to do in 5 years? And I'm sitting there like, how do I know what I'm doing in 5 years? But they want you to have a plan. You know what I'm saying? Have a plan. And many times we do, we make plans. I mean, it's just like the little girl who, you know, all her life she wanted to be married. And so she's walking around with stuff on her head, high heels, and she's just walking through the house because she's, you know, and putting on white stuff because she wants to be married all her life, you know. And then she gets to a place where it's time for her to get married and things just don't turn out the way she thought. And sometimes we can get to a place in our lives where we can say, it wasn't supposed to turn out like this.
Yeah.
How did I even get here? How did my life even make this turn? It, you know, I had so many dreams. I had so many, you know, what, how, what? What happened? It wasn't supposed to turn out this way. This is not the way I planned it.
My God.
So this woman was married. She and her husband apparently had decided that they were going to have children together, that they would raise them and live happily ever after. But life is just not a fairy tale. Some things will happen. And sometimes life will throw you a curveball. And I can remember, you know, as I was doing this sermon, I started thinking about a time when Shauna was younger. Shauna, she I don't know, she might have been about 8 or 9, and she's always been, you know, like she could do the theater stuff really good. Yeah, she was. And she came home, you know, and her mother was like, Shauna, do that poem, you know, about the sun, the mother and the son. And Shauna gets up and she starts, you know, quoting this poem. Well, son, I'll tell you. Life for me ain't been no crystal stair. Now, she was so little, you know, we thought that was a cute, it was so cute because she used to just do it so good. And I mean, she would just be walking and, you know, and pointing her finger and it had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor. There. But all the time, I've been a-climbing on and reaching landings and turning corners and sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. Right, Shauna? So, boy, don't you turn back now. Don't you sit down on the steps. Cause you find it's a little kind of hard.
Come on now.
Don't you fall now. But I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been. No Christmas there.
Yeah.
Amen. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Don't you fall now.
Come on.
And that's what God is saying to us today. Don't you fall now. Because he understands that life for you ain't been no Christmas there. Don't you, all right, don't you sit down on the step. Don't you talk. Hallelujah. He said, because he knows that life for you ain't been no crystal stair. Hallelujah. The scripture lets us know that troubles and trials will come in this earth. We are going to go through something. But he's saying to us today, don't you stay there. Don't you stop. Don't you sit down now. Don't you sit down now, because I know. Hallelujah. I know what you're going through. I know what you've been through. She was a widow woman. Her husband had died. She was left to raise her son alone.
Well,
in those days, widows were, if you were a widow, you were in trouble, because the husband was the one, he was the breadwinner. He was the one who took care of everything. He was the one who made sure that there was meat in the house. And so she was in a bad way. She was a widow. But this widow, the scripture lets us know, and then we're going to start reading from verse 8. Because the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." I'm going to stop there. Get thee to Zarephath. Zarephath was a place where people worshiped a god called Baal.
Come on now.
And, you know, they not only had a god called Baal, but they had all other kinds of gods. And these people worshiped these gods. And it was so much stuff going on in Zarephath that you would wonder why God would send Elijah to Zarephath. But this woman was from Zarephath. She was a foreigner. She was not an Israelite. But God will let you know. He will show you that, you know, it's nothing that can, you know, get past God. And he's always got something and somewhere where he knows that there's a blessing in store for you.
Amen.
And so where you might look and say, I'm not going to Zarephath because it ain't no good thing in Zarephath. And God is saying, if I'm telling you to go to Zarephath, if that's where I'm telling you to go. Oh, I got that. When she was talking about her testimony, and she said when she was going to North Carolina. I feel that. God told you to go. He says, I got that. I got you. I know where I'm sending you. I know what I'm doing in your life. You trust me, and I will make this thing work. He said, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. He told him to dwell there. Because, see, before he went to Zarephath, Elijah had just, you know, confronted the king, the king called Ahab. And he was telling the king that there's going to be no rain. And he said, you know, the king looked at him like he was crazy, like, what do you mean there's going to be no rain? When he worshiped the God, the rain God, and, you know, he God went straight to the God that he worshiped. And he said, look, you know what I'm going to tell you? It's not going to be no rain until I say so. And so Elijah, just because sometimes you think that things is going on in the world and God is good and he's covering you, sometimes you will be, you know, affected by the things that's going on in the world yourself. So God had to send Elijah the place called Cherith, the brook Cherith. He told him to go to the brook Cherith because he was going to send the ravens to feed him, and to feed him bread and to feed him flesh. And so he had to go to a brook to get food and water. So that, because everybody else in the land was going through a thing called famine. The land was without food. The land was without water. The land was without, all your crops were drying up because God said it wasn't going to rain no more until I say so.
My God.
And sometimes God is doing something in the land and you don't even know what he's doing. So it behooves us to just kind of, you know, talk to God about it. We see a lot of stuff going on. We don't understand what's going on. Talk to God, because God knows what he's doing. He's not just allowing things to happen just to mess with us. He knows what he's doing, and stuff was going on in the land. And so Elijah, he went to the brook. And God said, he said, a raven will bring you food and bring you flesh to eat every morning. Every morning they're going to bring you something to eat. And every morning, Elijah, he didn't have anything to worry about. All he knew was God said it, and he believed it, and he went to that brook. And guess what? The ravens, the birds, brought him food and brought him bread and flesh to eat. And sometimes we look at that, and we think God commanded the ravens. Yeah, God can do that. He can command the ravens. And one thing about a raven is that he doesn't have a mind to say, I will or I will not. Or I can or I cannot. If he's told the raven to do it, then it's just going to be done. It's just going to be done. And as we see in the scripture that, you know, he said in verse 6, it says, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land, because God hadn't said that there would be rain yet. So the brook dried up. Amen. And then God said, all right, so now the brook is dried up. I'm going to send you to Zarephath now. And he said, and I want you to stay there. He said, but behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. Now, all right, let's stop there, because I'm going to go back a minute, because it says in verse 10, in verse 9, it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. And he says, stay there, dwell there. Behold, he said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. God commanded her. So she had a command on her life, all right? So let's look at that real quick. This woman had a command on her life. Now, I don't know how she might have heard that. I don't know if she heard it in a dream. She might have seen herself doing it. She might have, you know, gotten to a place where, you know, she might have been able to hear God, you know, or, you know, sometimes we just hear God in our spirit. I don't know how, you know, you hear God, but, it's, you know, if I hear God in certain ways, sometimes God will just speak to me, and I can actually hear words. I can hear words. And sometimes I can dream, and God will give me something. And, you know, but sometimes when God speaks to you like that, when you look at what you have in your hand and God tells you, he says to you, listen, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. And you say to God, God, well, I don't understand how that's going to happen. Sometimes, you know, you look at yourself and you look at the things that's going on in your own life and you ask God how.
Come on now.
The Bible says that this woman was commanded. So she already had a command from the Lord. And many of us hear from the Lord. You may think that, oh, I don't know, I never heard anything. Hey, if a preacher is preaching the word of God, you're hearing from the Lord. Amen. You are hearing from the Lord. If God sends somebody in your life and all, you know, maybe on the bus somewhere and somebody walks up to you and just says, you know, good morning. I just feel like I just need to say this to you. Do you think that's just from that woman or that man? That ain't just from them. God is designing that. He speaks in so many different ways. And sometimes we just miss God when we don't realize that it's really God who is speaking in our lives. Isn't that right? And so the scripture says that Elijah went to Zarephath, and he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there. The scripture says, behold, there she is. Take a look at this. There she is. See, I'm going to tell you something. You know, you will know when God has gotten to the place where you need to be, or the person who needs to be blessed by you, or you need to be blessed by. You will know. Elijah said, behold. Oh, there she is. There she is. I mean, it's like somebody just saying, tag, you're it. You're it. He's talking right to you right now. He said, behold, the widow woman is there, gathering of six. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, because see, now God had already told him that she was going to sustain him. Now, if God would have told me that a homeless woman was going to sustain me, I'm looking at a homeless woman, and you're telling me she's going to sustain me? And so Elijah, he's not looking like we would look. He's not looking at this woman like I would look at her. He's looking at her through the eyes of God because he knows what God told him. And so nothing can shake Elijah because Elijah understands it. He knows God. He understands God and he has been tried by God. And so he's looking at this woman and he says, there she is. I know. I see her. There she is, God. There she is. Now, before, you know, Elijah even got to this woman, he didn't know all of her circumstance. He didn't know everything about her, but he knew she was the one. Amen. And so the scripture said, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand, because see, he knew that she was the one. Isn't that right? He knew that she was the one that she was supposed to sustain him, and he had just been sustained by the ravens. They had been feeding him day and night, and so he understood what God was telling him that this woman was going to have to do for him. So he just said, you know, all right, could you give me, so don't be afraid to ask people for something. When God tells you to ask somebody for something, don't be afraid to ask them. If God told you, I don't care if they look like they ain't got a dime in their pocket. If God said, because let me tell you something, sometimes God will command that very person. God will give seed to the sower. And sometimes he will put a seed in a person's hand who ain't got a dime to their name. And they'll take that seed, that very seed that God gave them. And because God had commanded them to sustain someone, because they believe God, that if they let it go, that God will bring more. He will bring more. Too many of us are holding on to what God has commanded us to do. We're afraid to let go. And the Bible says, and she was going to fetch it. As she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Now, because God has, I'm telling you, he's got people everywhere. And she might have been living in a place where they worshiped Baal. She might have been living in a place where they did all kinds of stuff and act all kinds of crazy ways and all kinds of stuff. But let me tell you something. That woman was worshiping the God of Israel. That woman was worshiping the true and living God. And see, God knew where he had his people. He knows. I want somebody to know he knows where you are. And you might be in a foreign land right now. You may be going through some changes right now in your life. And you may not understand what God is doing. You're, everything around you might be foreign. But God knows where you are. He knows where you are. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die.
Well,
How many of us have gotten to a place where, you know, trying to raise these kids, and some of us have to raise them by ourselves, and we get to a place where we're feeling like, oh my God, I just feel like I can just die right now because this has been too much. This has been too much to handle. I can't deal with this right now. I thought this we were supposed to go this way, but when I stooped around, it didn't turn out the way that I thought it was supposed to. I thought we were going to get married. I thought that, you know, when my husband got married, I thought that we were going to raise these kids together. I thought it was going to be different. I thought it was going to be different.
Well.
And some of us get stuck right here. Oh, my God, we get stuck. We get stuck. We can't move any further. We're here. And this is where this lady was. See, when Elijah met her and he went to the gate, this is where she was. This was where her, you know, she was feeling. This is what she was feeling in her heart and in her mind. Some of us are stuck right here. We can't move any further. We can't get any further in life. We don't know which way to turn because we can't see. We can't see before where we are. Some of us are so stuck. And God is showing us in his word, this woman was stuck right there. And as soon as Elijah came to her and he spoke to her, he said to her, you know, give me something to eat. Give me something to eat. And he knew what God had commanded her. He knew what God had already put in that woman. He knew it. But she didn't understand it. She had heard God. I'm sure she had heard him. Some kind of way she heard him. She knew that God had told her what to do. But this woman also knew where she was. And many of us will look at our lives and say, this is it.
Come on.
And let me just be truthful. This is where I am right now. This is it. This is all. We just got to be. You know, how many times do you hear people say, you just got to face it. This is what it is. What it is what it is. It is what it is. Oh, my God. And how many people have believed that? People telling them, just believe, oh, look, it is what it is, honey. You just need to, you know, shape up and wake up and just smell the coffee. This is what it is. This is your life, and just go ahead and try to figure out how you're going to live it. I'm sure that this lady probably had heard so much of that. It is what it is. She was stuck. She was so stuck that when Elijah came and he asked her for bread, she didn't even realize what was going on when he asked her for the bread. And she came out of her mouth and said, listen, I need to let you know, sir, I don't have nothing. So you done really came to the wrong house. I ain't got nothing to give you. I don't have anything to give you. Let me tell you something. This is it. This is all I got. I got a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruise. And behold, I'm gathering. Did you see me gathering sticks out there? I'm gathering sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. She didn't see anything further than that. She didn't see anything further than that. She couldn't go any further because she thought that that's where her life ended. And many of us are living right now in that place. Oh, my God. You're living in Zarephath. God is saying, I need you to come up out of Zarephath, because I'm about to pull you up out of there. I'm about to pull you up because you're living in Zarephath. He said, I need you to understand it, that, I am God in your life. And so Elijah said to her, then Elijah just started talking back to her. Elijah looked at her and he said, you know what? You might not remember what God told you, but I do.
Come on.
And he said, fear not.
Fear not.
God is speaking to somebody right now. He's saying, fear not. Sometimes he got to shake you a little bit and say, fear not. Because he knows what he put in you. He said,
Fear not, lady. What?
I can imagine him looking at her and saying, oh, come on, you gonna get it together here, because you the way I'm gonna be able to eat. So you got to get yourself together. And you know how it is, you know, when you get together with somebody and y'all in trouble and one person just start losing, like, and they're the only one who knows how to drive, and y'all stuck somewhere. And you're like, they're like, oh, I can't do it. And you grab that joke and you be like, get yourself together. We're going to get out of here. Come on, you got, come on, get yourself together. We're going to get out of here. Slap them up, slap them. Let me slap you out of this. Get yourself together, you kidding me? And I can't drive either. I can't drive. You're the driver. If you go crazy and lose your mind, we're all messed up. And so he said, fear not, lady. God is speaking to somebody today. He's saying, fear not. You got fearful. You got fearful when it started to happen. You got fearful. You got fearful when life got hard for you. You got fearful when you couldn't see past where you were. God said, you know, don't be fearful. God is showing you, don't be fit. Trust me, you don't have to fear. God is telling us today, you don't have to fear just because this is all you have. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Just because that's all you got. Just because this is what my life is right now. This is all I can see, God. This is it. This is, you know, and God, this is a mess. And you know what? My life is a mess. And this is not going to work. I know it. You know, God, so much stuff going on, God. If I start telling you, God, the things that's going on, God, even you probably would start shaking your head. I probably will read your text that says SMH. I got to tell y'all a funny about that. Delana sent me a text, and she said, shaking my head, right, SMH. And so I'm sitting there, I said, well, then, you know, I was reading the text when she got home. I was like, and you, here's what you said, such, shmuh. You know, because I thought it was like, So she said, oh, mom. It's shaking my head, mom, shaking my head. Oh. Okay, you were shaking your head about the situation. Okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey, I don't know. It said shmuh to me, shmuh. Okay? No, I mean, please, how am I supposed to know that? I mean. So Elijah, he told that woman, fear not. He told her, fear not. And, you know, another reason that he could have been telling her fear not for is because she probably knew that God had commanded her. She remembered that. And when she was confronted with what God had commanded her to do, she got scared. She got scared, and she probably was saying to herself, but, you know, how am I going to do this, God? How's this going to happen? I mean, I don't know how I can do this. And I think she may have, you know, she got scared because she knew she heard God. I heard him. I know I heard him. I heard him say it. And when she heard God, she probably said to herself, talking to me. You can't be talking to me. How am I going to sustain somebody? How am I going? She probably saw herself in a dream and everything, and, you know, saw herself helping somebody and feeding them and everything. And, you know, when she woke up out of her dream, she realized she didn't have a darn thing to feed nobody with. And so she probably was saying to herself, that can't be me. How would I be able to do something like that? Ain't no way. So, can't be me. And how many of us are looking at ourselves right now saying, can't be me? God, this can't happen for us.
Come on. Come on.
My family can't do anything miraculous in life. My family, no, this is it. This is all we got. Can't be us. And then when she was confronted with it, she started getting scared. She started getting nervous about it because she's trying to figure out how she was going to do it. And God is saying to you, stop trying to figure it out. You're trying to figure this thing out. Stop trying to figure it out. You will never figure God out. You don't know. I'm telling you, God is his mind is he thinks so much further than we think. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Come on, you can't figure God out. Just come on, just get in there and begin to walk in the Spirit. And just trust God for your journey. Because this is a journey, amen? This is a journey. And when we learn how to trust God for the journey, then we'll understand how to govern ourselves in this earth, on this earth. We'll understand what God is doing in our lives. He said, fear not. And then he told her, go and do as thou hast said. He said, but make me a little cake first. He said, and bring it unto me, and after, make for thee and thy son.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to stop right there because
come on now.
You coming to my house, you telling me to give you some cake first. I just told you. That this is all we have. You are a man. You're a grown black man. Or a white man. Got a couple of white ones up in here. We ain't letting y'all get away with that. Okay. Amen. Okay. And you coming to my house and you telling me to give you a piece of cake first. You want to give you some bread first. And, you know, if anybody's going to get anything first, it's going to be my son. I'm going to get it first. You kidding me? I'm going to give you my food? Our last meal? This is our last meal, sir. I just told you that. And he tells her, you know, make thereof a little cake first for me. And let me tell you something. Once we can get past this first, we're going to be all right. If we could get past the first. See, because a lot of us, we ain't trying to let God be first in our lives. God, you can't have first, baby. You can't have first place. When God already said, I am the first and the last. He already said he's first. The Bible says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything that you need will be added unto you. He said, seek first the kingdom. But many of us, we get stuck there. Because God, no. See, My kids come first.
Watch it.
No, no, no. What? Take a little bit first. God, and that's why God does that, because he knows we got a problem with first. With him being first. First. We got a serious issue with that. And God is saying, if you don't understand first, if you don't learn first, if you don't learn, then you won't get past to second base. You ain't going to get past the second base. You got to learn first.
That's all right.
You got to learn first. I'm not letting you get past first until you learn first. You better learn first, I'm telling you, because if you don't learn first, you'll never understand how faith really works. Oh, you'll never understand. If you think you could keep putting God up and down off the shelf, taking him up, putting him up and putting him down, because you decide that you want to be first or you want something else to be first, then God is saying to you, you know, that's your loss. You can do that if you want. Because you have a free will. This woman had a choice. She could have said, you know, I decide that I don't want to do this. See, the raven didn't have a choice. He just, because God said it, it happened. It was going to happen. God said it was going to happen. But when if he commands us to do something, then we have a choice. We don't have to say, yes, God, I'll do it. Or, yes, God, you're going to be first. You are first. I can't make you first. You are first. I can't make you nothing. I can't make you God. You are God. How am I going to make you God? Am I going to take your name back? I'm going to change you. I'm going to change that from you. I'm going to say, okay, well, you're not God today. I can't change that. You are God. You are first. You are last. Amen. Say that. I thought I was making me some hooping music. All right. Yeah, time to hoop. But we got to get past that first, okay? Because if you can't get past first, then you ain't going to get to second base. God has to be first in your life. And he's not going to allow anything, you know, that he does supernaturally to come flow through you, you know, mightily as he can and will. Because he will bless you, because guess what? You know, the rain, with the sun shines on the just and the unjust. And you might think, oh, yeah, God is blessing me. No, he's blessing everybody. He's blessing the unjust too. Okay? But the special ones. See, you need to be where the special ones are. You know what I'm saying? The ones who really understand God, and the ones who want to walk with God and understand him. The ones who don't have a problem with putting God first in their life. The ones who will be ready and waiting and willing for God to say, you know, all right, it's time. It's time that when I commanded you to do something, I put something in you, and now I'm ready to pull it out of you. And then since I'm ready to pull it out of you, you don't really get afraid of it, because you know that I am God, and it's not going to be you who will be doing the work. It will be God who will be doing the work through you. So let us get past first. Okay, so he says, then give me a cake first. And he said, bring it to me. Bring me the cake. And then afterwards, make it for you and your son. See, that was, he just put all that together. He said, let me just put it all together right here, because this is the way it's supposed to go. Then afterwards, you make it for you and your son. So right there, he started talking to her. He wasn't talking to her anymore. He was talking to her spirit. Because he was getting ready to deal with her faith now. Her faith is getting ready to kick in now. You know what I'm saying? Because now he's saying this. And so it was either time for her to say yes or no. It was either for her to begin to say to herself, this is real, or this is live, or this is Memorex.
That's right.
It was for her to begin to make a decision. And some of us are sitting right in this place right now, getting ready to make a decision before their God. Because God is speaking to us, and he's telling us things, and he's letting us know that he is God in our lives. And even though we have been going through some difficult times in our lives, God is showing us that you're not stuck there.
Go ahead.
And if you can just trust me, I can open up a door for you that you wouldn't even imagine that the door was even there. You've been walking past that door every day. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I can open the door. That's the kind of God I serve. I don't know about y'all, but that's the kind of God I serve. He's a supernatural God. And he can change things. He can fix things in your life. You don't have to sit there and feel like everything is over in your life. This was her time of changing the way she thought about her life. And the Bible says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and thy son. He said, for thus saith the Lord thy God of Israel, the barrel of meal, it shall not waste. He said, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. If you can get past first. And if you can believe God. When the prophet said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And he told her that the barrel of meal shall not waste. Now, come on now. She's looking at him and she's probably saying to herself, okay, I'm hearing you. All right, come on. Because God had commanded her already. It was in her already. And so something was connecting. Something was connecting with this woman, okay? Is anybody with me? Anybody with me? It was connecting. And she was like, oh, come on. I want to hear some more. I need to hear more of that. What did you just say? He said, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
Come on.
This woman is hearing this now. But now she's beginning to see like she's never seen before. See, she heard the word when Elijah came to her first, she was talking about what she had in her hand. She had nothing. This is it. This is that. This is all. But then something happened to her. She started to draw off of what God had put in her. He had given her some faith. He had given her, you know, a command that, you know, you're going to sustain him. And, you know, she started hearing the word of God. And that word of God started to go in and to you know, start to speak to her. And as he spoke to her, she started to see the barrel of meal. See, faith will allow you to see the invisible. It will allow you to see things that you would never see. It will allow you to see the very thing that God sees. It will allow you to see, like, you know, when Elijah, he had a servant, and they went, and they was going somewhere to fight somewhere, and when they got there, the servant got afraid. He was so scared. He was like, oh, my God, we're outnumbered. I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, they're going to kill us. We're going to do this. And Elijah was like, God, open up his eyes so he can see. Please open up his eyes. And God opened that man's eyes, and he saw a host of angels encamped all around them. And he looked around, and he said, okay, we can do this. And God is showing you that you'll be able to see, if you can just see like God sees. He's saying, you know, you need to look and you need to see like I see. That's what faith will do. If you start drawing on your faith that God, come on now. If you just start drawing on your faith, you will begin to see the invisible. You will see the invisible. And then, you know, what happened was, I believe when she saw the invisible, she began to believe the impossible. When when you can see that you ain't stuck where you are, when you can see, when you can look out and you say, you know what, God, this is how you see. You got to look right in here. You got to look in here, and you got to see what God is saying to you in His Word. God shows us in His Word that you are never stuck in that situation. He will get you out of it. Don't you get yourself hung up on what you can only see in the flesh. Don't have yourself all mixed up and messed up and let your mind just wander and take you all different places and make you feel like all hope is lost because your husband died. Because you got to raise these kids by yourself. Ain't no food nowhere, even in the land. Not just food in your house, but ain't no food in the whole land. No hope nowhere for you. And God is saying, I'm even more powerful than that. I'm even more powerful than that. No bread anywhere in the land. I can bring bread to your house. Everybody else around you all messed up and tricked up. You know why? Because their mind is messed up. They're thinking that, oh, you know, my family, this can't happen for our family. And you live in the same place, in the same land, and God is saying to you, He's speaking to you, and He's saying, oh, it can happen for you. Oh, it can change for you. And it can change for them too. If they can learn how to put me first, and if they can learn how to trust me, and let me be the leader. If they can trust me. And so this woman, you know, I'm looking at her, and then I'm saying to myself, wow, you know, she seems to be getting this thing. Because the scripture says, you know, for the barrel of meal, it shall not waste. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she's saying to herself, oh, my God, that sounds quite kind of like what the Lord told me.
Okay, go ahead.
And you're saying that? You see, I'm only saying what the Lord told me. I'm only saying what the Lord told me. And so, the Lord has said it, and He's letting us know today that He's working this thing out. He's working your situation out, and you know, you've been feeling down, you've been feeling out, you've been wondering, you've been worrying, you had these doubts about whether this thing was going to work for you, and God is saying, oh, it's going to work. It's going to work, but now I got to teach you how to get it to work for you. Right? Because, you know, you had those people tell you all this kind of stuff about how to get rich, get money, you know, and they tell you, and you sitting there, and you just listen, I want to know. And they say, you know, yeah, do this, do that. I tried all this, I tried that. You know how many people have said, I tried this, and I tried that. And then they say, well, no, let me, because everybody's tried certain things, but I want to show you how it's going to work for you. And that is what God is speaking to us today. He's saying, I'm going to show you how it's going to work for you. This woman began to draw on her faith, and she started to believe the impossible. She saw the invisible, the very thing that she could not see. She started to begin to see the invisible. And then she began to believe the impossible. And you know what happened to her? When you see what you cannot see, and you believe what you know that you ain't supposed to be believing in God. When you get to that place, when you start to believe in, you get to that place in your life, then something happens in your life where you start to begin and feel like I can receive the incredible. I don't know if anybody feels that. I feel like I can receive the incredible. I don't care what it is. I can... Let me tell y'all, maybe I have to bring us back a minute. When we were over Kirkbride, and the Lord, well, when we were in the house, the Lord said, you know, all right, let's do this thing. We're going, and we're just flowing with the Lord.
And we start the church in the house. And then God says, okay, time to move. He moved us out of the house, moved us to Kirkbride. We're at Kirkbride for a couple of years. We're like, okay, God, all right, we're doing it. And all of a sudden, Lord said, okay, now it's time to move out of Kirkbride. I'm going to, time to find a place. It was an advertisement in the real estate section about this small. No lie. For this church, right here, this church. And pastor had been just searching through, And he said he had missed it a couple of times. He had missed it because it was so small. And God said, go back. Read that. Come on now. Something is small. Come on. Okay. Was that meant for anybody to really find it? And God said, go back. And he went back. And then he called the number. And then we came. And we talked to the pastor. And the pastor said to us, oh, you're the ones. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He said, there's been many people who came here, to look at this church, but you're the one. God sent you. He sent you, and he told me that you're the ones. And guess what else? Everything that we have here is going to stay. The pews are going to stay. These chairs are going to stay. Everything, the tables downstairs, they're going to stay. All of this stuff, it's we just flowing, that's all. We just flowing. And so I don't know about you. I know how my God can do things. You can stay there and die if you want to. You can stay there in that same position, and you can stay in Zarephath. You can act like you don't understand what I'm saying. You can stand there and you can keep looking at what you got and keep saying, this is all we got, baby. We're going to die tomorrow. This is it. We're going to eat, and this is all we got. If you want to stay there, then that's your business. You have a choice to make. And God is saying, I'm going to pull somebody out to the supernatural. I want to do some supernatural stuff in your life. I want to show you that I am God, and that I can do the impossible in your life. And whatever the situation is, nothing is too hard for me. I am God. Oh, I am God. Hallelujah. And so this woman, man, she heard that thing, and the Bible says that she went. And she did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I'm here to let you know that my God is not a man that he should lie. Hallelujah. If he said it, hallelujah, he's going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. You got to trust in him and learn how to put him first in your life. Because when you put him first in your life, he will do things and he will allow you to begin to see the invisible. He will allow you to believe the impossible. And then you will begin to receive the incredible. Oh, he'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. And somebody is still saying, no, not me. And God said, stand up, my child. He said, stand up. Fear not. He's shaking you. He's shaking you. And he's trying to get you to that place where you begin to understand. Stop letting people tell you that it don't work like that. People will tell you in a minute, oh, don't work like that, girl. Don't let them church people tell you that. I'm here to tell you that it works like that. you. Stop looking around at the things that you see. Stop thinking that the things that you see is all it is. He said, because I've got so much more for you. And I'm going to take you so much further. I'm going to do so many great things for you. And where you are is not the end of your life. It is not over. It is not over. And God is speaking to many of us today. He's saying, get up out of that slumber. You're in a slumber. You're in a slumber. He said, get up out of it.
Come on.
Because this is not the end. Oh, no. You had to raise your kids by yourself. You had to get to a place where, you know, you're praying and you're crying and you're praying and you're crying. And you don't even understand which way is up sometimes. You're looking at your life and you're feeling like, God, ain't no way in the world we can get out of this. This is it. And God is saying, no, I'm taking you to another place in me. I'm taking you to another place in me. And that place is the place of faith. The faith of a mother. The faith of a father. I'm taking you to that place of faith. And that's where I want you to live. I want you to live there. I want you to come out of there fast. And I want you to live in that place of faith. And I want to show you miraculous things. I'm going to do the incredible. I'm here to tell you. God say, I'm ready to do the incredible in your life. Are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to receive the incredible? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when we look at, you know, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, I heard Reverend Janice Voorhees, when she said, you know, when she in her prayer, she was talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she birthed Jesus. Her faith. Because a lot of stuff was going on in her life. She was going through some stuff. People talked about her. People looked down on her because they didn't understand, hallelujah, what God was doing in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. People going to talk about you. People don't understand what God is doing in the spirit realm. God is saying, listen, I'm doing some stuff. I'm fixing, I'm rearranging, I'm fixing some stuff for you. But the only way that you can understand these things and be able to be a part of it is if you know that I am first in your life. And you trust me for every step that you make. Order my steps in your word. Trust me for every step. Trust me, and I'm telling you, I'm going to allow you to see some things. All of a sudden, your eyes are going to open. You're going to be free from being bound. You're going to be free from being bound by thinking, oh God, this baby, what I'm going to do? Because then you're going to start saying like Mary, be it unto me according to your will, God. Because you don't know what you're birthing. You don't know what you're carrying. You don't know what God has given you to carry. You don't know what God, you don't know what ministry God has given you. Somebody ready to say, be it unto me according to your will. Let us all stand in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah.